Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
God, open up to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, while you're turning there, Father, we thank you and we praise you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that as we preach, teach, and study right now, that you're bringing strength to us, encouragement to us, and you're reminding us of how we're supposed to do this, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk, the importance of church, and not just the importance of church, but how we come to church. Lord, I thank you that this is not a rebuke, but this is an exhortation this morning to help us once again in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you were here last Sunday?
Yes.
I'm not doing that again. At least not today. Last Sunday was a great service. It was fun. It was exciting. And you know, what we do here is, this is God's house. This is his pulpit. Whatever he wants, that's what we preach. I had a message. It was a good message. I liked it. I wrote it. But God said, okay, you can start with it, but we're just going to go here with it. Amen. And it was not my intent, but it's turning into a little mini series right now. Because last Sunday we were dealing with, and we preached out of John chapter 11, and we're talking about Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And we talked about the importance of church helping believers to get the grave clothes off. Amen. Because it takes a church. You know, I know we live in a day where we're being taught you don't need church, you don't need a pastor, you don't need the Bible, we're saved by grace, you don't have to worry about anything and everything because God's done everything for you. Just say a prayer if you feel like it, and then you get to go to heaven. There's only one problem with all of that. If you actually read the Bible, none of that's true. God has a lot more to say on just the opposite of why we need the church. The church is important. It's more than a prayer. It's more than. Amen. Yes, Jesus has paid for everything. We don't work our way to heaven. You don't earn your way to heaven. Frankly, none of us deserve to go to heaven. But thank you, Jesus, because of his work on Calvary, we get to go to heaven. Amen. Because of what he did. But we have a part. We have to receive not just the work, but we have to receive him as Lord. And if he is our Lord, he's going to lord over us. He's going to show us how to live, tell us how to live, tell us how to walk, what to do, how to do. Amen. This wasn't just so we have a nice Sunday morning gathering, but it's so that we could actually learn how to walk with him, be with him, so one day we could go to be with him forever. Amen. 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 So we're talking about the grave clothes on Sunday. And it does. It takes the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now Satan has disciples too. And those disciples will help put the grave clothes back on you. You do know these verses, right? The Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light. That means he's an angel. He is an angel. He's a fallen angel. He is the demon, but he's a fallen angel. But he comes as an angel because angels are messengers. Angels are workers. He comes as an angel of light. Light doesn't mean illuminate, like turn the lights on. It means revelate.
Yes. Come on, that's right.
He will come with his doctrines. He will come with his fables.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my Lord, are we living the season of fable right now in the body of Christ? We got a little bit of truth, a little bit of truth, and a whole lot of heresy. And thinking it's okay. And so he comes to teach and indoctrinate. His disciples will come and put the grave clothes back on the whole time thinking you're okay. Man, this is good. I was once free, but now I'm bound, but man, this is great. I could move freely, but now I can't move at all, but this is great. Yeah, but it takes the church. And God set this up this way. It takes believers. It takes proper fellowship, holy fellowship, righteous fellowship to get the grave clothes off and destroy them so they don't get put back on. Amen. This is where the church comes in. Because in the church, you've got the brotherhood. You've got the sisterhood. Amen. You have elders. Because every once in a while, actually not every once in a while, most of the time, a brother doesn't like being corrected by a brother. Just go look at your own family. If you were grown up and you had siblings, did you like when your siblings corrected you? Now, later on in life, maybe we were grateful for that, but you didn't like it at the moment. In fact, most of the time, you resisted it. Yeah. You're not dad. You're not mom. Who do you think you are? Right? We don't like being corrected by the brothers. We don't like being corrected by sisters. That's why you need elders. Because there is a difference between a brother and an elder. And thank God for the different offices and, you know, different denominations. They have different kind of functions with them, but we got deacons, you know, different denominations. That deacon may be what we call an associate pastor. You know, there's different levels, and it's not better than the other. It's more maturity, responsibility to help believers grow with God, grow in God, and go further with God. Amen. You know, so it does take the church. And then in a church, a healthy church, a church ordained by Jesus Christ, here comes an ugly term. You need a pastor. Amen. You know why? Because a pastor doesn't care what you think. If they're actually walking under the anointing of God. A pastor, listen to me. I know some of you already don't like the message. So just put a smile on your face. Fake it until the service is over. A true pastor doesn't really care what you think. A true pastor doesn't care if he hurts your feelings during the service. Now, do we intend to? No. Do we want to? Absolutely not. Is it our job to offend you? No. But we do know we're going to offend somebody. And I've said this for many years, and I'm going to say it until I give up the ghost. I am an equal opportunity offender. You stick around long enough, I'll offend you all. I'm that pastor that says, if the shoe fits, I'll help put it on for you. Not to irritate you, but so I can remove the irritation so you can walk right. Amen. See, real pastors anointed by God, under the anointing of God, will preach what God says to preach because he knows that God is dealing with them even though the pastor doesn't want to deal with them. That's why we can't care. But we do care, obviously. But I just learned this years ago. I learned this in the first dealership that I worked at. You know, when I started stepping into management and started learning, you know, how to, you know, run and do all that stuff, and that was whatever. But I learned this statement, and I've carried this in ministry. You got to learn how to care without caring.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course we care. Of course we love. That's why we preach. Because if I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach anything that I preach.
That's true.
I'd preach a message that would fill this place, fill the offering containers.
Wow.
Because what we preach here doesn't do that. Because this causes you and I to grow and walk with God. And most people, most Christians don't want that today. They want to feel good in their sin, get a false sense of security that I'm going to heaven, but I don't really care if I do or don't. Just make me feel good, preacher. See, you don't get that when the grave clothes are coming off. You can't get that to remove the grave clothes. You've got to hear truth. You got to hear the word of God on how to live, how to walk, so you keep the grave clothes off. And that's where the church comes in. That's why we need the church and why God ordained the church. And this is why Satan is doing everything he can to attack the church of God. Amen. Now on Tuesday, because like I said, I never intended this to be a series, but it's turning into one. On Tuesday, we continued with my actual message from Sunday. And we ended up in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And that deals with a parable that Jesus is speaking about this marriage supper. And of course, if you when you read the whole context, it's church history all the way to the very end in one short little parable. And God, you know, in the account, he's talking about how the master, the king, his son is getting married, and he sends out his servants to invite everybody, but to invite the chosen, his people, his kingdom. And they reject. They have every excuse under the sun why not to come. In fact, some of them mock, ridicule, berate, insult, assault the servants. And then the king gets ticked off. Fine, you don't want it. We'll send everybody. Go into the highways and byways. Invite everybody, the good and the bad. That's where you and I come in as far as church goes. You know, it started with God's chosen people. Most of them rejected. And God said, fine, you don't want, they will.
Absolutely.
Thank God for the Apostle Paul. Yes. Amen. So he goes out, preaches, and of course, you know, we're part of that marriage supper now. But, everybody say but. In that account, there's one guy.
Yes.
The king comes down. He's overlooking the entire wedding ceremony. He's excited because the place, okay, we've got people here to honor my son in this time of celebration. But wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. His whole focus doesn't shift on everybody who's there. It shifts on the one who doesn't belong there. Now, he was invited there. Because in verse 14, it says, many are chosen. Or many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Many are called. We've all been called. It's God's desire that all men would come to repentance. All. Everybody say all.
All.
It's God's design that everybody has the opportunity, and he'll make sure you have the opportunity. But just because everybody's given the opportunity doesn't mean everybody will be chosen, because when we show up, we can't show up however we want. There's an expectation on how to show up in the kingdom of God. There's an expectation on how you're supposed to walk once you've met God. This guy shows up in the wedding, and the king says, hey, whoa, whoa, you're here. I know you were called. How come you're dressed like this? How come you don't have on the garment you're supposed to have on? Now, you and I today, we have the understanding. If you're going to a wedding, there's an expectation. Usually, you know, it's just kind of a generalized, this is how we're doing, this is how everybody's showing up. You know, guys in the black, women's in the white. Everybody's dressed a certain way, but then there's sometimes where it's like, well, this is the attire that's expected. But there's an expectation. In this culture, in this time, not only was there an expectation to show up, but when you showed up, you were presented with a garment by the king himself to be part of this marriage supper. Not only was he called, he shows up, but he rejects the garment that was presented when he got there. I don't need that. I've got my own. And then when confronted, it says that he was speechless. There's going to be many speechless people. They've got so much to say down here about the things of God, but one day when they stand face to face with God, they're going to be speechless. So the whole point of Tuesday night in that parable is you can't serve God however you want, which is why we need the church. Because the church, the pastor, the elders, the brothers, the sisters, they're going to deal with us. And wait a minute, we don't act that way. We don't talk that way. And the unity, the fellowship within the house of God that's supposed to be here, we help one another grow in the things of God. We help one another walk in the things of God. Amen. I keep going back to it, but there was a day, some of us remember this. There was a day that if you started talking wrong, the church, the pastor didn't have to deal with you. Brothers and sisters would deal with you. The elders would deal with you. Hey, well, get that doubt talk out of your mouth. We don't talk like that. We talk by faith. Amen. We don't act like that. Why are you acting like that? We don't go in and celebrate that. What are you doing? We know better than that. There was a day. That hasn't gone away in God's eyes. Just because the church says, well, you know, we want to make everybody happy. Doing what? On their way to hell? That's not the purpose of the church. Amen. The purpose of here is learning how we walk with him so we can walk with him and one day go be with him forever. Amen. So we dealt with that on Tuesday. Now, out of Sunday and Tuesday, this thought has been just burning and burning. And last night, I was up most of the night. I'm like, all right, Lord, I know what we're preaching on. Are you at Luke? I gave you plenty of time to get there. Luke chapter 18. This morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments about posture. Posture when you come to church. So let's deal with this parable here for a moment. Luke 18, starting in verse 9, it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted, say trusted, in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I wish that wasn't in the church. I wish that wasn't in the body of Christ. Listen, I'm going to say this right now. I wish that wasn't here at Higher Ground Ministries. But I'm going to help every one of you with, like, you're thinking right now, I can't believe we have that problem. Every church has this problem. This is in every church. I just wish we wouldn't have it. Verse 10, red letters. In your Bible, is it red letters?
Yes.
Okay, Jesus speaking. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. Publican, not Republican. Publican. Tax collector. Not Matt, but tax collector. 11, Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote or beat upon his own chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, now this is Jesus speaking. He just spoke about these two men. Now this is Jesus speaking again about these two men. I tell you, this man, which man? The second man. The publican, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Say justified.
Justified.
Justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall he be exalted.
Amen.
This morning the Lord said to deal with posture. Posture. Because, you know, last Sunday we were talking about when you come to church, you should have this, your expector.
Yeah.
You're expecting God to move, not inspector,
right.
Expector. Not coming in and interrogating, what's the motive, what are they doing, who's this, who, no. But expecting God to move, expecting God to show up, expecting God to deal with you.
Yeah.
It's proper, and you should. When you come in expecting, the Holy Spirit responds. And when you come expecting and the Holy Spirit responds, where do you think that response is coming from? The altar.
Right.
Worship. The preacher.
Yeah.
The works that are done at the altar. The atmosphere is changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When people come expecting God to show up, God shows up.
Amen.
God does not show up in places he's not welcomed.
That's right.
God does not show up in places he's not wanted. God does not show up in places he's not expected to be there. We don't come to church because we're supposed to go to church. We come to church expecting God to be here to meet us, to help us, to encourage us, to heal, deal, whatever he needs to do. We come expecting. At least we're supposed to. Amen. Well, once you come expecting, it should also go beyond the expecting part. When you come into God's house, you have a posture.
Yes.
You're supposed to carry yourself a certain way. Now, the posture we're talking about here is not a natural posture. We're talking about a heart positioning. Because another word for that posture is position. How is your heart positioned when you come in here? When you come into the house of God, you're expecting God, but how are you treating God when you get here? How are you treating the atmosphere when you get here? How are you treating the things of God when you get here? How are you treating the worship when you get here? How are you treating other brothers and sisters when you get here? How are you treating new people as they walk in when you get here? How are you treating God's house when you show up? Now, all of that's attached to your heart. My father-in-law used to say it all the time. Tithing, it's you can treat it ceremonial. You can treat it traditional. But tithing at its core is a heart issue. We tithe out of the heart. We don't tithe out of obligation. We don't tithe out of fear. We tithe because it's a heart issue. God blessed, God gave, I can give. God showed up in my life, I can certainly show up in church in his house. God blessed me and he's continuing to bless me, I can present back to him what he says is rightfully his. Amen?
Yes.
It's a heart issue. It's not a have to issue.
Amen.
It's a heart issue. Well, this posture we're talking about, it's a heart issue. When you show up to the house of God, it's a heart issue. Jesus gives the illustration of two men. And both of these show up in every church service. And these are the two heart issues that I want to deal with. Now, yes, in some of it, we see some physical action. Because when your heart is positioned, it'll position you. When your heart's in its proper posture, you will be in a proper posture.
Yes.
Now, this isn't, okay, we jump up and down and we raise our hands or we sit down or we're quiet when we sing. Because different churches, different denominations, they have their deal. They have their, this isn't a loud, quiet, this isn't a shout, not shout. This isn't a come to the altar to present, come to the altar. This is not what we're talking about. Because that's all man-made stuff.
Yeah.
That's man-enforced stuff. But when your heart is positioned right, when your heart is in the right posture before God, these are the results of it. Coming to the altar and presenting the tithe.
Yeah.
Coming to the altar to worship God during praise and worship.
Yeah.
But we know this, and we're not judging, because this isn't a fake it till you make it. I've corrected some of you on this. No, we don't fake it till we make it. We faith it till it's revealed. Or you can say we faith it till we make it. We don't fake anything. It's we're trusting God. It's by faith we're doing these things. I may not get it yet, but Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. You're going to give me the understanding. You're going to give me the revelation. Why do they go to the altar during worship? Well, they seem excited. They seem happy. So let me go try this. That's not a faking thing. I'm going to do this by faith. And then when God grabs a hold of them, the anointing gets a hold of them, when revelation comes to them, they're no longer faking that. No, I need to make my way to the altar now.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
But when we invite, we're not saying, you've got to come down here. God can't touch you out there. He can only touch you here. No, we came out of that denomination.
Yeah.
We remember going to the telephone booth where they taught us how to lie. I made that comment in Indiana. They had no idea what I was talking about. It didn't register to me. They're not really a Catholic area. They're more of a Baptist area. I'm like, oh, you don't understand that religion. Okay, praise God. That's a good thing. I'm not picking on, because the one thing they did teach us is reverence.
Yes.
So I'm not, please don't, just most of us are former Catholics. So, but the point being is, when the posture here is right, everything else just falls into place. Amen. So let's deal with these two guys for just a moment. We got the Pharisee and we got the publican. Now again, this posture, it's a spiritual posture. Not a natural posture, but it will affect the natural. It always does. The publican, again, he's a tax collector. But in this day, you know, we don't like tax collectors, you know, that hasn't really changed all that much. But in his case, you know, he's a Jewish man working for the Roman government, but he's basically an extortioner for the Romans. He's a sellout. He's a traitor. Most people don't like him. The Romans tolerate him only because he brings money. His own people can't stand him. But yet he shows up to church. The temple. That'd be like the local church today. Then we've got the Pharisee. The Pharisee is a teacher of the law. He knows this. He walks around with this. When he goes into the temple, this is who we listen to. So this would be the elders. This could be the brothers and sisters in the house of God that walk pretty strong with us today, comparing temple to church. These are the believers that we should be looking to. Hey, they got this all together. I can trust them. Thank God, God goes a little bit deeper than outside appearance. You know, this phrase that I've heard over the years, you know, well, God knows my heart. This is not a cuss. That should scare the hell out of you. Because if God really does, and he does really know your heart, that should put a holy, righteous fear in you.
Yes.
because he knows why you did what you did, with whom you did it with, and what the reason was, what the motive was, and he even knows what you're thinking about what I just said right now. He knows. This is not Santa Claus. He knows everything. He knows what you did when nobody else saw what you did, but more importantly, he knows why you did it. He knows your heart. Amen. Thank God he knows our hearts. That is a good thing. Because he looked at this publican a little different than he did the Pharisee, but you and I, by the natural eye, we would look at it the other way around. Because that's what religion produces. But again, we're talking about these two men, two different worlds, coming to the same church. One, there's an expectation. The other, you kind of almost go, well, he just doesn't get it. Now, the posture here, the natural posture that we can look at in the verses, number one man stands there in the midst of the temple. He just comes right in. If we were to make this the temple of that day, he'd be standing right here. No problem whatsoever. The other would be way in the back. He's there, but he's in the back. He doesn't feel worthy enough to go up front. Because he knows who he is. Yeah. He knows what he does. He knows where he lives. Thank God for the mercy of Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. But still, we're seeing two different people here. Two different attitudes when they show up to church. So one's in the back, one's in the front. One man prays about himself. Because he said he prayed thus to himself. He wasn't talking to God. He was talking to himself. Now, there's a proper, healthy, biblical reason to talk to yourself. You build yourself up. You talk to yourself. You deal with your mind. You cast down imagination. There's a proper thing to talk to yourself. But that's not what we're talking about here. He's talking to himself about himself. Look at me. Look at how good I am. After all, I get to stand behind the pulpit. You know what that means, don't you? Nothing to our God. Because John tells us that many have hijacked this office. So just because you stand there means nothing. Unless God has placed you there and his anointing is upon you. Just because of your self-promotion, just because of your title... Let me throw one out there that some of you aren't going to like. Just because you call yourself Christian, because I can't find a Bible verse that says Christians go to heaven. Now, Christian is a term that's given to us even in the scriptures, but I don't find a Bible verse that Christians go to heaven. I find a Bible verse that those that believe. There's believers in heaven, not Christians. Just like there's, no offense, there's no Catholics, there's no Baptists, there's no Episcopalians, there's believers in heaven. Yes. It's not a title. Right. It's the one you follow. Yes. Amen. And I'm not, belittling, but you understand that because we can use the banner of, well, I'm a Christian. Well, so is, last time I checked, 75% of our nation. If 75% of our nation is Christian, could you explain to me, what is going on out there? Be grateful the kids were down here right now because it caused me to check myself for a moment. And no, it wouldn't have been a cuss because it's coming straight from the pit of. But if we're a Christian nation, then explain how all of this is going on. But we run around with the title. We're Christian, we're Christian, we're Christian. It's not Christian, it's believer. Now, yes, we are Christians. We're Christ followers. But you're supposed to be a devout follower of Christ, not a partial follower of Christ. Amen. So one prays about himself. The other prays to God. We're talking about posture here. But we're talking about spiritual posture. But their spiritual positioning with God is showing up in the natural. This is what we're witnessing. And you can witness this almost in every church. You can witness it almost in every fellowship if you're paying attention. We don't go around judging people. We judge ourselves. Yes. Amen. One boasts on his expected achievements. You know, there's things that the scriptures call, it's our reasonable service. Going to church is your reasonable service. Tithing is your reasonable service. Giving, sowing, forgiving is your reasonable service as a believer. Forgiving, working in the kingdom is your reasonable service. Preaching the gospel is your reasonable service. Here, let me throw another one out there that's going to rock some of you. Casting out demons. Laying hands on the sick. That's supposed to be part of your reasonable service. Because that Great Commission wasn't given just to the fivefold. It was given to every believer. Right? See, those are our reasonable services. The military understands this. You know, when you go through boot camp and you do, and you, even if you get called out and you're on a tour somewhere doing something, even in time of war, you do your reasonable service. You come back and they salute you. They say, thank you. We're glad you're back. We're glad you're healthy, but get ready. We're sending you back out again. There's no parade for you. There's no great award for you. You did your reasonable service. The ones who get a special award are those who go above and beyond the call of duty. The same thing is true in the kingdom of God. That's why it's called our reasonable service. It's reasonable. If God died for you so you don't have to go to hell, it's reasonable that you should live for Him like you're going to heaven. Right? So one is boasting on himself. The other's praying to God. One's boasting on his achievements. And what did he give for achievements? I go to church. I tithe, I fast. I love the fast one. What are you fasting? A Snickers bar? Well, you'd be amazed what pastors hear. You'd be amazed what we have to listen to. And we shake our head, and if we're shaking our head, I'm sure God is going, I sent my son down there. He died for them. Well, I can't go to church right now. I'm fasting. What are you fasting for? Isn't the purpose of fasting is so you get closer to God?
Yes.
So you hear Him more clearly?
Yes.
Where do you think you're going to hear Him the clearest? From the pulpit.
Right.
I can't go to church right now. I'm fasting. I can't pray right now. I'm fasting. You might want to crack open the book. I'm just curious at what he was fasting and what he was boasting on. Because he fasts twice a week. Good for you. The other one didn't have anything to boast about. But the other one says, Lord, deal with me. He beats on his chest. He's like, Lord, I hope you see my heart. As I look around and I see religious people, I don't know what you see. I don't know what you think when you look down on me. Lord, I know who I am. I know what I'm called. This is my job. This is what I do. But I know this isn't right. He beats on his chest. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not trying to sugarcoat who he is. He's not trying to say, Lord, you know, I showed up to church. Isn't that good enough? No, he's just the Lord. See, we're talking about posture.
Yes.
We're talking about a heart position with God. Amen.
Amen.
One guy's looking around. Not only is he boasting about himself, he's checking things out. Oh, I'm far better than Amy. I know that. Doug, I got him beat. But the problem with this is when he starts looking around, it's who he's looking at. You notice he doesn't go to, you know what? I aspire to be more like Mo. No, he goes to, he finds somebody that he knows, or at least he assumes, is unworthy in God's eyes. Boy, I know what he's doing. He's a drunk. He's an alcoholic. He's an addict. I know he's cheating on his wife. I know he's going through a divorce. I know, thank God, in fact, he goes on to say, I'm not like him. He's looking around judging. comparing himself to somebody who's barely a convert. We're talking about heart, posture, heart positioning. This guy is looking around the church now, going, you know what? I'm pretty good. Because I'm not like him. I'm not like him. I know what he did last week. I know what she was thinking or doing because that little gossip circle, you know, of course, for me to know the gossip circle, I have to be in the gossip circle, but we won't talk about that. Thank God I'm not like the harlot we threw at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, but wait a minute. How did you know that she was a harlot and sleeping with that man? You peeping Tom? You pervert? Well, I didn't do it. I was just watching. Come on. We treat Jesus in the scriptures like he's just this religious, like he's walking around like this all the time. Or we take the Catholic pictures and he was as much human as he was God. You think that Jesus, are you kidding me? If she's here and you caught her in the act, how many of you were peeping? And then on, how did you know where to peep?
Yes.
You bunch of stinking nuts. So the Pharisee, he's looking at least I'm not her. Yeah, but you were peeping. I don't know. I think that's kind of worse. She's wrong. You're even more wrong. That fits. That would make them a moron. Who's helping me preach right now? Out of the mouth of babes. Yes, it was Aussie. And Grandpa just squealed on him. Wasn't me, Pastor, I promise. All right, we're going to have fun like we did last week, too. Praise God. All right. So one's looking around judging everybody else. Or better yet, he's comparing himself to other people. But he's not comparing. If we're going to compare, you're not supposed to compare yourself to one another. But if we're going to compare ourselves to one another, you should be looking to those that you esteem highly to say, you know what? I'm not trying to be them, but I want to be like them. That's proper. But instead, they go backwards and say, at least I'm not like that. In fact, that's where he goes on to say. And then, of course, you know, the one is looking around, comparing himself to others. The other won't even look up. Won't even look up. He's focused on himself and not self-centeredness. But he's not looking around because he knows he's got enough to deal with just himself. His focus isn't there to, you know, this would be like take Mo and Ramona. You know, Mo's not concerned about Ramona. Ramona's not concerned about Mo in the regard of, you know, Mo, you better get right with God today. Ramona, you better get right with God today. They're both saying within themselves, Lord, I want to be right with you today. I'm here for you today. Amen. Now, this is just what we see in the natural. How about the spiritual side of these things? The Pharisee comes boldly, confidently, because of his title. I'm a Christian. I belong there. Oh, it's amazing in churches all over this world. We're praying for the lost. We're praying for the sick. We're praying for the addicts. We're praying for those to come to our church. And we'll stand there in the prayer, the posture of prayer. Lord, please bring them, bring them, bring them. And then when they come in, we stare and glare at them. These are the people we're praying to come in. So what was your prayer really about? Every church has this issue. We're not exempt from that. I'm just grateful that we moved the door. Because it's harder for some of you to see people walking in now. It's amazing. People walk in and you see the heads. And then you'd see the look of disdain. Oh my God. What are they doing here? I think God is saying, what are you doing there? Who cares if they look like they fell face first into a tackle box? That can get healed and fixed. I'd be a little bit more concerned with your mind. Amen. So the Pharisee, he comes in bold. What appears to be bold and confidence, really it's arrogance. His title gives him access to the altar, to the temple. I belong there. That's my world. These are my people. But what he's really saying is they all look to me. And we have that in church today. I hope it's not you. His title gave him and others the expectation or the appearance that they're closer to God than they really are. You know, 42 years of ministry, you're going to deal with a thing or two. You're going to deal with attitudes or two. You know, over the years, it's never a good thing to hear, but we hear it. Every ministry has it, the longer you've been around. You know, well, I wanted to get involved in this area, but this person was doing it, and I just didn't think I was in that, you know, that same level as them. Like, we were trying to get rid of them. They were miserable. They were arrogant. They were self-centered.
Right.
Well, no, I thought they were so spiritual. No, they were spooky. There's a difference.
Yes.
One's with God, one's with the devil. We're pretty sure they were possessed. We were just kind of stuck. We were hoping somebody would step up.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I had known sooner. So did we. We would have cast that demon and Jezebel out a long time ago. But this arrogance, it's a religious spirit, yes, but it's arrogance that causes people to look at them. It demands that people look at them. The attention becomes about them, their walk, who they are, what they're doing, their position within the church, their position in the kingdom, how long they've been saved versus how long maybe you've been saved. Some of you remember this name, David Feltz. He was a you know, traveling preacher, evangelist, prophet, you know, that he would come in. He was friends with my father-in-law. One of the last times that he came in, and he just had this word. He goes, you know, I'm seeing this across the body of Christ, and the Lord's just been, you know, I believe this is what he's prophesying, that this generation of believers that are coming into the kingdom now, they're going to accelerate further and faster, kind of paraphrasing what he said, further and faster than the previous generations because time is running out. There's going to be an anointing on them to go further and farther than the previous generations did because time is running out. Now, we're part of that. And yes, there's truth to that. But what's amazing is when God spoke that, he was speaking through the man of God, so the people may be behind, not so you look down or get offended or insecure about.
Yes. Yeah, right.
But most people never take what the prophet's saying. And it's amazing how many people try, oh, who do they think they are? I've been saved longer than they have been. I've been a minister in the house of God. No, you haven't been a minister. You've been miserable in the house of God. You've been causing misery in the house of God. Who do they think they are? See, the Pharisee spirit, when it gets on you, nobody's exempt from this. When this gets on you, it starts affecting your heart. It starts changing your posture, your position with God, your heart position with God. Amen. Now, the publican on the other side, you know, he's a traitor by trade. Everybody looks at him differently. Publicly, he's known to be a sinner. He's not right. He's wrong. He's taking money from God's people, giving it to this invading nation. He's an extortionist. He's expected, if he dares to show up in church, we might permit you to go, but you better sit in the back. You're not welcome up front. Now, yes, in our churches, we have decency, we have order, we've got people positioned for different reasons, security, ushers, all that stuff. But when we start to, that's my seat. I would gladly give up my seat for some sinner looking for God.
Yeah.
that they may find God, meet God, and walk with God. Amen.
Yes.
And I've done it before, and I might do it again very shortly. I might just move everybody around just because. To rattle that religious spirit that creeps on people.
Good.
That it's not your chair. It's God's. This is His house, not your house. We're stewards of His house.
Yes.
Amen. Some people are getting nervous. I just cleared out half the church, so praise God. If He moves my seat, I'm out of here. Yes, that was an issue. When we bought these chairs, we had one person. I bought that chair. How do you know which one you bought? We keep moving them around. Did you put your name on it? Grow up. Thank you, high and mighty one, for buying that chair. You've done nothing else in 42 years, but you bought that chair. Praise God. It's like Pastor Kenny Gatlin, he's one of my champions. And I love him. I love his walk, his fight. And, you know, he was dealing with somebody just like, well, I want to know where my money goes with my giving. He goes, oh, well, that's easy. And he pulls off his mic pack. He goes, you paid for the batteries. That's about the extent of your giving around here. If you want to know where the money goes, you put batteries in my mic pack. I love Pastor Kenny. Because you'd look at him, you'd walk with him and go, not Pastor Kenny. Oh, yeah, Pastor Kenny. Why? Because it's just real. You know, praise God. Let's get moving. So, but here's the reality. Jesus said in verse 14, he says, I tell you that the second the publican left there justified more so than the one, the Pharisee, the first one. Why? Because the Pharisee shows up, he's arrogant. Think about that, being arrogant in your walk with Christ. How is that possible? It is. When you think it's about you. Now, yes, we understand that if you were the only person, Jesus would have died for you. We understand that. But when this is all about you, no. Everything we do is for Him.
Right.
Everything we do here is because of Him. Everything that we're trying to point people to Him, not to us.
Right.
Him, not to the church. Yes, we need the church. Yes, the church has its place, but it's not. Higher Ground Ministries isn't getting you to heaven.
Right.
Higher Ground Ministries is going to help you walk with Him to go to heaven.
Right.
But Higher Ground doesn't get you to heaven. The pastor, no pastor on this planet gets you to heaven. Well, it's my pastor. Because of my pastor. Now, we understand because of the pastor's preaching, their boldness, their anointing. There's a place in all of that. But the pastor is not the one who died for you.
Exactly.
The pastor didn't spill his blood for you.
Amen.
Jesus did that.
Yes.
We're just pointing to Him on how to walk with Him.
Yes.
And not insult Him.
Amen.
Amen. So the first one, he's arrogant. His title, his Christian title is not a guarantee. Calling yourself a Christian is not a guarantee you're going to heaven. I wonder how many Christians today are in hell. I wonder, because this was the attitude he had, I wonder how many faithful tithers, never missed a tithe, I wonder how many tithers are in hell right now. I wonder how many extravagant givers are in hell right now. Now, I don't know. I don't know the man. He was dead long before I was even a thought. But you know Al Capone was a massive giver to the local church? I only know that because I did, that was one of my reports I did in high school. Oh, he was a tremendous giver. You realize we would call him a thug today? Mobster? Some of you, who's Al Capone? For all you young folk... So just because your giving doesn't get you to heaven, and your giving doesn't pacify what you've done. So I wonder how many Christians, I wonder how many tithers, I wonder how many big givers, I wonder how many supporters of missions. And everything that we do, because that's our reasonable service, I wonder how many who boast on those things are in hell right now. Saying, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name?
Wow.
So it has to go a little bit deeper than what we just do. the Pharisee, this attitude he has, his title, his arrogance. He looks around. He's comparing himself to others. And, of course, as he's looking around, he makes some statements. And this was what the statement was, because it's a spirit that's on believers today. It's the same catchphrasings that we hear today. Every time, every season, we hear certain things. You know, not that long ago when they called it the grace message. Then it was the hyper grace message, the ultra grace message. All it is it's seeker sensitive. Because that was the terminology when my father-in-law was a pastor. And then it shifted to grace. Oh, no, we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. Okay, we are saved by grace. But what you're saying and what you're preaching is bring the bar down.
Yes. Come on.
No. The goal is to bring the bar up.
Yes.
Jesus set the bar. It's not our place to bring his bar down. But your message is bringing his bar down, so it justifies and says your lifestyle is okay because he's already paid the price. And the proof of that is how many people are holding to, well, I'm good. See, the new phrases of today is I'm confident. I'm secure in my walk. Now, yes, you are supposed to be secure in your walk. You're supposed to be confident in your walk. But when you start making these phrases to justify your rebellious behavior, your sinful behavior, I don't have to do what God says in his scripture because, after all, I'm confident. See, these are catchphrases today. Just like the seeker-sensitive thing or I'm saved by grace thing. Even though these are true statements because of the scriptures and the work of Jesus. When we start saying, why are you saying that? I thank God I'm not like him. But how much better than him are you? Because that statement says, Lord, I'm not as bad as him, is what it's really saying. So before you judge me, judge him. Before you deal with me, you got to deal with him first because he's worse than I am. That's what it's saying. Or today, some of that statement would also follow when they start attacking you for your walk. And they start saying, well, no, you're just all about works. We're saved by grace. You live like a fool.
Right.
You insult our God.
Yes. Yeah.
You insult the cross by your actions, your attitude, your gossip. Everything you're doing outside of here is insulting the very work that he did to save you.
Yes.
That very grace you're talking about, you're mocking by your lifestyle. And you're going to insult me because I tithe?
Nope.
You're going to insult me because I hold the tithe holy? I treat God's house with reverence.
Yes.
That I stick to the word where it says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and that much more so as the day approaches.
Amen.
That as we get closer to the blowing of the trumpet, church should be an emphasis. You're going to insult me now? Trying to twist that? For what reason? So I water it down so it makes your lifestyle look better? See, Jesus had something else to say about all of that in verse 14. He said that the first guy's attitude was wrong.
Yes.
His posture was wrong. His heart was wrong.
Yes.
But the second, he didn't condone his actions, his sinful actions. He didn't say what he was doing was right, but what he was saying is, that's a heart I can work with.
Yes.
That's a heart that I can allow my anointing to flow in.
Yes.
That's a man that I can help to deliver. The first one already thinks he's got it made in the shade. I can't do anything with him. Jesus said this to the Pharisees when they mouthed and mocked him. What are you doing sitting with the publicans? What are you doing with sitting with the tax collectors, the adulterers? Look, you're sitting with the sinful. What are you doing? You've got everything together. You guys are right. They're wrong. Somebody needs to go to those who are wrong. So I'm here for them. You don't need my help. You've made that quite clear. You've got it made in the shade. You have, because going back to the first word that we read, and I had you say it, trusted. They convinced themselves, is what that word trusted means. They convinced themselves they were okay in their posture. But verse 14, Jesus says, they're not. They're self-deceived because of their actions, who they are, their titles. So he's judging works. He's boasting on his own works. After all, look at what I did. I've heard this over the years, and I know every pastor's heard. Well, I've served long enough.
Yes.
I've done enough. You want me to show up to a midweek service? I showed up on Sunday. Isn't that enough? I'm not asking you to. God is.
Amen.
Have you noticed it's getting darker out there?
Yes.
I'm not talking sun and moon. I'm talking the spiritual atmosphere is getting darker out there. Do you think you're going to survive all of this in your half walk with Christ? You need all the anointing you can get, sweetheart.
Yes.
Well, I show up to every service. Okay, great. But are you really showing up?
Yeah.
This guy showed up to service, but he wasn't really there. Or he wasn't in a position or a posture to receive what God wants to do. He boasts on his reasonable service. You know, some people treat coming to church, hey, I showed up. Roll out the red carpet for me. I'm glad you showed up. Would you listen to the Word of God? Would you listen to the Spirit of God? Would you tune into what God is trying to say right now? So he's treating everything he does like a checklist. In other words, what he's saying, the Pharisee, his attitude is, my word, give me the right. My works, rather. Give me the right. I've done enough. I'm good enough. Listen, it's okay that I drink my booze and smoke my dope. I still love God. He loves me. Yeah, he loves you. He just doesn't love what you're doing. He came so you don't do those things anymore. God loves me. I love him. I come, I do, I give, I tithe. Every offering, I'm part of it. So I can hold on to this one little gossip circle that I have. It's okay. This is the, like it or not, this is his attitude.
You're right.
I'm not overreading what the verses say. Because this is his attitude about this. When he's comparing himself to a sinner, what he's saying is, Lord, it's okay I have a couple of things because he's got a lot of things. But I'm okay because I do all these other things. He can't even come down to the altar. Look at him. He's just sitting in the back. At least I came to the altar. That makes me better. No, that just makes you arrogant.
Yeah.
Now nobody's going to come to the altar and worship anymore. We had this a couple of years ago. I made some statement because it's true. You know, there are different ones that they're... Who's watching me right now? Who's watching? And this person, I could see it every service. I watched this for about a month. Every service, you know, they're just kind of. You have no idea what I see. Pastors do. You give us so much material to preach. And I just made the statement about, listen, why are you here?
Right.
Are you here to worship him? Don't be concerned who's watching you.
Yeah.
Or who you might think, or if you think the pastor's watching. It's amazing. That person, right away, I don't do that. How'd you know I was talking about you? There's 100+ people in here. How'd you think that was about you, sweetheart? Oh, because that's you. But nobody called you out. We're just making a statement. Listen, it's you're not here for other people. You're here for him.
Yes.
Amen. So, and no, it was not Ramona. So, he boasts on his works, his reasonable service, treating it like a checklist. And he's also using this to, you know, justify maybe some of his outside behaviors. Or, if nothing else, minimize his behavior. Because the longer we walk with God, there should be less of you and more of him.
Yes.
That's the goal. Less of us, more of him.
Right.
We sound more and more like him each and every day. Less and less like you. Amen.
Yeah.
You act more and more like him. Less and less like you.
Yeah.
That should be the goal.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, really it's a picture of self-centeredness. It's all about him. I'm good enough. I've gone far enough. I've done enough. Yeah. See, this is a heart issue. Say it. Heart issue. See, we're not talking about somebody standing at the altar. We're not talking about somebody standing behind the pulpit or somebody who sits in the back, because not everybody can sit in the front row. Yeah. Now, Mo is a pretty easygoing guy. He's pretty quiet most of the time, but I'm pretty sure, now they're out in the foyer right now, but I'm pretty sure if Guy came in here and sat on Mo's lap, Mo might not be so quiet anymore. I only wish there was a camera on Guy right now. So not everybody can sit in the front row. That's not what we're talking about. Even though you're sitting in the back row, your heart can be, I'm in the front row.
Yeah, you're right.
But you can also sit in the front row and your heart be like, I'm in the back row and I'm one step away, one step out the door. This is heart, is what we're dealing with, what we're talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the publican, just kind of go through this a little bit quicker. The publican, he's a sinner. He knows that. He knows he's not right, but it doesn't mean pagan.
Right.
This is somebody who's trying to get right with God, walk with God. He just knows he's not there yet.
Sure.
The reality is, until we see him face to face, he's not done with us.
Right.
There's always something for him to work on. The moment we think there's nothing else for God to work on, you're turning into a Pharisee.
Yes.
Your heart is getting wrong. As long as you're breathing, there's something God's working on.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Like it or not, that's just the reality, because go look at yourself in the mirror.
Yes.
And then start examining what you think about.
Yeah.
Start examining how you treat other people or you think about those people when their name comes up. And you're going to find out very quickly, you're not perfect yet. God's still dealing with you. And even if you've conquered some things, you're still going to have to fight to keep those things off. Because
yes.
You let your guard down and that old man will creep back in.
Yes.
So here he is. He's not saying, Lord, I'm a pagan. I just don't know. He's like, Lord, I know who I am. I need your help. I can't do this. I can't do this without you. That's a heart God can work with. That's a heart Jesus can work with. Amen. Standing afar off, he's reverent. He's treating God's house holy. He's like, I know who I am. I'm not going up to the altar. It's not that he doesn't want to get to the altar, but he's like, this is a reverent Lord.
Right.
I'm not coming up to insult you.
Right.
Now, thank God we're not under the old laws like they were.
Right.
Thank God we can come to the throne boldly, not arrogantly.
Amen.
Confident in him because of what he's done and what he's doing. Amen. But this is reverence right now. This isn't I won't go up there. No, it's a holy reverence. He beats his chest. That's humility. He's like, Lord, I know my heart, but I think I know my heart. You know my heart better than I do.
Yes.
I know I'm not right. This is humility. He won't even look up. He's focused on himself. He's focused. But also not looking up, not looking around, not even looking to heaven, because it says he won't even look his eyes to heaven. He doesn't have to look up to heaven per se. It's his faith that God is going to meet him in that back row, that God is there to help him. Amen.
Amen.
But then, of course, he's not praying to himself.
Yeah.
He's talking to God.
Yes.
Prayer, communication. These are elements. These are elements that are supposed to be found within the believer when we come to church. Not one of them. All of them. We don't pick and choose. Well, you know what? I like that reverend one. I'll sit in the back. I'll say a thing or two, a time or two. God says when these are all working, and there will be times that one's more than the other.
Sure.
But these things have to be in the hearts of believers. The reality is what he's saying is, Lord, I don't need to be here. I'm good. Look at my life. Look at how good I am. We need all of these, all six of these. We need reverence in the house of God.
Amen.
Now, we know the Bible says that God's house, decent order. You know, we were talking last week, Ramona and Kate, it seemed like I thought they were about to take off. You know, and That doesn't mean that when the anointing on God, the excitement of God gets on you, that people don't get excited, they don't jump out, and don't do this right now to make me happy. We don't choreograph our services here. You do that, I'm leaving. But when the anointing of God, when the presence of God, the excitement of God gets in a believer, sometimes they just don't know how to respond. And they take off, and then that triggers something. When it's God, it's right. When it's choreographed, it's wrong. But reverence, there has to be reverence. This is God's house. This is His house. This is His anointing. This is His word. This is His holy desk. That's His tithe. Those are His offerings. So when you're insulting them, or if you're fellowshipping with those that are insulting them, you're not insulting Higher Ground Ministries, you're insulting God. And when you're fellowshipping with people like that, you're fellowshipping people who are insulting your God. So when you come in here, though you may come in here all proper, God says, don't pretend like you've got reverence in here when you don't have it out there. Because the posture isn't just in here. We bring it in here. It's already here. Amen. The humility. He's God. We're not. We got the National Day of Prayer coming up, and I always start with it. You know, that, you know, we pray, we seek, we turn, we humble ourselves. Why? So God can hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and bring healing to us. It's His way or no way. Amen. Without Him, there is no way. We need God. We humble ourselves before Him. And you can't hide things from Him. Well, if I just don't say it, He knows everything. Because He was there when you were doing it. He didn't give you permission to do it, but He was there watching it. And even worse, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's telling you, get out, run, don't be part of this, and you push through that. Well, I'll be humble in here. No, that's false humility. Because you're humble in here, but not out there. See, it's a heart posture. It doesn't just show up when you show up. We're always in that posture, that position, close to God. We bring it to church, which allows God's anointing to flow in church. Focused. Faith. He was repentive. Him saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, help me stop doing what I'm doing. I can't do this without You. A repentive heart. That's another ugly word in 2026. We've got some famous preachers. Oh, no, you only repent once. Okay, any of you married couples? Let me know how that works out for you. You say sorry once, stop doing that one thing once, and then everything else, you try that. Well, I already said I'm sorry. And then don't call me for marriage counseling, because I will be that preacher to say, no, you deserve her smacking you upside the head. In fact, I'm going to hold you down so she can smack you again. Prayer. These are elements that are supposed to be, that bring us into that position, that place, that posture, that keeps our heart there. Prayer, communication. One of my favorite stories about prayer is found in 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Elijah. Elijah, you know, he's told by God, okay, Elijah, I'm going to use you. Yep. You're going to shut up the heavens. Yep. No rain for 3.5 years. Yep. You're going to do this. Me? You? Yep. Wow. I can do that? With me, you can. All things are possible. Yep. But he had to stay in that position of prayer to keep the heavens shut. Yes, see, we treat some of this stuff like he prayed once and that was it. No, he had to stay in that prayer position to keep the heavens shut up. But then God said, now it's the time. It's time to open up the heavens. And it says that he went up to Mount Carmel. He gets down on his knees, puts his face to the ground between his knees, and he got into that position, that posture of prayer. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he never lifted himself from that posture. He commanded his servant, go and look towards the sea and tell me what you see.
Yes, he did.
Nothing. What do you see? Nothing. Anything? Nothing. Until that one time. Well, finally something. Not Elijah, the servant. Well, I see a cloud. But it's, sorry, sir. It's only the size of a man's fist. That's not a cloud. That's not a cloud. There's cotton balls that are bigger than that. But you know what got him excited? It wasn't the size of the cloud. It's what God had told him before he got into that posture of prayer. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It doesn't matter if the sky is filled with clouds or if it's one tiny cloud. There's rain coming. He heard that report, and that's when he got out of the posture of prayer. He stayed in that posture until the manifestation of what he was praying for. Amen. Same thing's true. You stay in that posture. But the reality is you never leave that posture. You may leave it in the natural, but you never leave that spiritual. The Bible says pray without ceasing.
Yeah, right.
Don't just pray till you get the answer and then wait for something else to fall apart and pray again.
Yes.
No, you're always praying. You're always talking to God.
Right.
Amen. Worship is part of our prayer.
Right.
Pre-service prayer is part of our prayer.
Yes.
Pre-service prayer is part of our prayer.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. It's communication to God. That's all, during that time, that season, most of the time, that's you talking to him, worshiping him. Right now is him usually talking to you.
Amen.
Now, he'll talk to you outside of here, and he does, but it starts in here. You got to learn his voice in here to hear it out there. Amen. But Jesus said in verse 14, and we're wrapping up, I promise. Verse 14, he says, and I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. Say justified.
Justified.
Justified. That means he's made innocent. He's no longer guilty. But I like the other word that's attached to it. He was made free.
Yes.
We've been dealing with this the last few services about the anointing of God. The anointing lifts burdens and it breaks yokes. And if God sets somebody free because of this posture coming into his house, means the anointing begins to flow in the house of God because they were in a position to receive the anointing of God. It wasn't their arrogance. It wasn't their works. It wasn't how good they were or how bad they were. It was their posture, their position within their heart saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. This is your house. I'm coming in humble. I'm coming in before you. I'm coming in to hear from you. I'm coming in with a holy reverence. I'm coming in and I'm bringing all of me for all of you. But this is not about me. This is about you. This has nothing to do with what I've done. This is about everything you've done. And that position, that heart position, that posture said, Jesus said, this man went home justified. This man went home free. This man went home with the anointing flowing in his life and the anointing doing what only the anointing can do, lifting, breaking,
amen,
propelling, healing, restoring. Amen?
Amen?
Because of his posture. The other guy, Jesus said, he got nothing.
That's right.
How can you give him anything? He doesn't think he needs anything.
Wow.
We just finished up with our studies in Revelation.
Yeah.
We're going to do a review next Thursday. But those seven letters, one church, he says, you guys think you're blessed. You think you guys are okay. You think that you've got it all made in the shade. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're destitute. You're naked. You've got nothing going for you. You're wrong. Red letters, Jesus Christ, about a church that thinks because they're doing all this stuff, they're okay. So it's not about sitting in a seat. It's not about what seat you sit in. It's not about singing the songs. It's not about how much you give. There is no person who's ever given so much money that God says, you know what? That was a pretty big offering. I think I'm going to put my word aside just for you. That was heavy duty. But you know what he did do one day? One woman in the house of God gave two mites barely enough to buy a coffee today. He stopped the church service and he said to his disciples, this woman has given more than anybody in here. Two mites? And he said, they gave out of their abundance. Some of it was a show. Some of it was, it just didn't bother them, didn't hurt them. And they did it right maybe, but it just, it had no grab, no pull on them. No like, Lord, I love you this much. This one's going to hurt, but I love you more. I trust you.
Amen.
See, it seems to be that with our God, now this is how you kill offerings in here too. Well, he just said it. We give big offerings, God doesn't receive it. But if I give two pennies, we don't want your pennies. Nobody wants them anymore. No, you get the point.
Right.
It's not the amount.
Right.
It's not the work. It's not how many times you show up in church.
Yeah.
It's none of that stuff. It's the heart that's attached to it.
Right.
All that stuff will be affected by the heart that's attached to it. Absolutely. It can't not be. But it's not the what you did. It's why you did it. It's the want to.
Yes.
Not the I got to.
Amen.
Amen. But if your want to is right, there's going to be a little bit of I got to.
Yes.
But it changes with the attitude behind the I got to.
Yes.
I got to do this because God was, he's just been so good to me.
Amen.
I can't help it. I got to give into his work. I got to give into his, whatever God's doing. I want to be part of it. I want to be in every church service. I want to be part of the conferences. I want more of God because he's been so good to me. But it's all heart. It's the posture in your heart. You learn that in church because you're not going to hear this from the internet preacher. Because the internet preacher is telling you, you don't go to church. You don't need this. You don't have to live this way. You don't need a pastor. You don't need the word. After all, just say a prayer if you feel like saying a prayer. We got some of them out there now saying, listen, everybody's going to heaven. There's only one problem with that. Red letters, Jesus Christ said otherwise. So somebody's lying.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I think it's you. Because my God is a God that cannot lie. There's no shadow or hint of turning with our God. If he said it, he meant it, and that settles it. So if he said otherwise, I'm going to trust him.
Yes.
Sorry, but not sorry. So justified, made free. Why? Because of his heart posture. But where? In church. It was in church. Not on the other, and no offense. Thank God we got the stream because some people can't be here. You know, beginning of service, having a little fun with Justin, you know, because he's a goof. He loves to joke around and we all know that, which is awesome. We need that. Amen. But that doesn't save you.
Right.
That doesn't help you. We know there's no distance in the spirit. The anointing of God can work through the stream.
Sure.
Just like it's worked through TV and radio over the years. Because our God is not limited like we are.
Right.
But that's not the perfect.
No.
That's when we don't have anything else or we need it for the moment.
Right.
This was his design.
Amen.
That we come into the house of God. That the church goes off. That we come into the house of God, that we learn how to walk and present ourselves to God a way that he says is acceptable. Because he gives us the garment. He gives us the robe. We don't have to go find one. We don't have to go buy one. He gives us the wedding garment. We come into the house of God with the right heart and the right posture, and the anointing begins to flow. That God can heal us, deliver us, set us free, bring wholeness, happiness, peace, joy, strength, everything that he wants to do in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Not just because we showed up, but we showed up with the right heart.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we're not having a bad day.
Right.
I know if I go any longer, some of you are going to have a bad day. I know some of you came in here having a bad day. It's not about having a bad day or a good day, but it's about having the right heart when you come in here, regardless of the day.
Right.
That allows the anointing of God to flow, to bring the freedom and the liberty. Why do you think Satan is attacking church so much? Why do you think Satan hates churches like ours so much? Because he knows that if you can push through everything else and get into a church like this that you've been planted in by Jesus Christ, called to by Jesus Christ, where the anointing is welcomed by Jesus Christ, Satan knows he's lost another one.
Amen.
He's losing another one. He can't keep his grips on another one. Amen?
Amen.
But it's all about the heart. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now stand to your feet and lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your anointing that's attached to your word. Now, Lord, this was the instruction that you gave me. So now I'm speaking this to everybody here. That as we receive communion today, we know the book of Corinthians tells us that we're not to do this in an unworthily manner. Even this very act, people do it.
Yeah.
Corinthians deals with it. Their attitude was wrong. How they treated it was wrong. That Paul's like, no, you're doing this wrong, guys. You got to receive this in a worthily manner. Not a perfect, because not one of us is perfect. But worthy means, Lord, my life reflects what that represents. My life, because of your life, we're in agreement now, partnership now, communion, that as I receive this, this is a reflection of you and me walking this together.
Amen.
You did your part, now it's mine to do mine.
Amen.
And you're going to help me do mine. So I want every hand lifted and head bowed. We always do this before we receive communion, but we always take a moment to deal with ourselves. That when we do come to the table, we're going to receive it in a worthily manner. But this is what the instruction was by God today. These two heart conditions in church. You're here today. I'm convinced that unless you stumbled in here or you were dragged in, and I didn't see anybody hogtied when they came in here. You came in here on purpose.
Yes.
You know how we preach. You know what we believe. Now, you may be still trying to figure us out, but you've got a pretty good grip on, okay, we're just going to preach the word. We're not going to water this down, sugarcoat this.
Right.
We do believe in a severe walk with God.
Amen.
We understand that we're not perfect. He is. We're not. But we're going to do our best to represent and walk with him according to his word, with his anointing, to the best of our ability. But we also need to be reminded of that, and that's what we do here. So if you're here, I'm pretty sure that you hung around, because normally we clear people out pretty quick. Don't intend to, but it just happens. So this was the instruction God gave me, that this is about the heart condition. Just you dealing with you. Not us judging, not us pointing our fingers, but you dealing with you. And this is a fair question that every one of us should ask God. Ask our Lord and Savior, Lord, which heart condition do you see in my life? Am I that publican or am I that Pharisee? And if I'm that Pharisee, Lord, please tell me right now. Because I need you. I need your anointing in my life. I need you each and every day helping me walk this thing out. So Lord, deal with me right now. If that's me, the beautiful thing with our God, it just works this quick. You repent. And God meets you in your repentance and he helps you turn that thing and get walking right. The Bible says, you know, that you confess your faults to him and he's just. He's just. He's fair. He's quick. And his anointing is there to forgive and to restore. So, Father, I thank you right now as we're standing here in your house, hands lifted. Our heads are bowed, but it's not in shame. It's just so we're not looking around. We're just dealing with us. We're dealing with us right now. Now, if we know that our attitude's been wrong, that's an easy fix or easy adjustment. Lord, we know we've been wrong. Forgive us. Help us. But Lord, if we're not paying attention, if we haven't realized that things have gotten on us, this Pharisee-type spirit may have moved in without us realizing, Lord, deal with us right now. Help us right now to get that back under the blood, your blood that saved us, delivered us, healed us, made us whole, expects for us to prosper, advance in the things of you. We need this back under the blood. We want our hearts right before you so you can do everything that you want to do each and every day, not just once in a while, but each and every day. So, Father, I thank you right now as the pastor of this church. We stand here right now asking you to forgive us. if our attitude and our heart has shifted from you in any way, any fashion, forgive us right now. Lord, I thank you that you created, you put the church together so we could stand together with one another. Nobody's exempt from this. Though we're not looking around right now, we do know this. We're not the only one, if that's us. Others have fallen into this. Others have been kind of self-deceived into this, that we didn't realize our hearts were starting to shift. But we're so grateful because we're also reminded by the church in this body of believers that when we do repent, oh, your anointing is right there to bring us right back. There's no 10-step program with you. It's a one-step program. Repent. That's it with you. Just true repentance. Lord, forgive me from going this way and help me to go that way. One step. So, Father, we thank you right now that your anointing is here to deal with each and every one of us, to encourage each and every one of us. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's in here right now. It is a sweet anointing. It's a peaceful anointing. Lord, we thank you that it's here right now to help each and every one of us. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's here in the house. May we be like the second, that when we leave here today, that your anointing goes with us. We know we're justified because of Calvary and the cross. We're going to heaven. But may we find freedom right now from every sin, every vice, every offense, every hurt, every betrayal, every pain. May we find freedom right now with your anointing because of this moment. In Jesus' mighty name. Now say this, I receive this. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.